This morning, last night as I was preparing for what to share with you this morning I was praying, and I had a few things that I wanted to share with you this morning. And when I woke up to the song, I don't know if you know, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness, right? And I was thinking about that. Sometimes my son Elijah, he wakes up with a song. So usually a song that he sings at Sunday school. So he'll sing, you know, whatever song that we sing at Sunday school. And then it always blesses me to hear, because I feel the Lord speaking to me through the songs that he sings. And this morning I woke up with that song in my mind, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And I want to share with you today, because I believe that some of you guys need to hear about the faithfulness of God and to be encouraged to stand on his word. I had a professor in college who was a missionary in Papua New Guinea. And this was during the time where obviously internet wasn't available. They didn't have a phone. Long distance phone call. You have to go into town, you know, trek miles and miles and hours to make a phone call. And that was pretty unstable. And during that time, the village people were cannibals, actually. Or there used to be cannibals. And they were very hostile towards this Caucasian missionary that came to town. And they didn't like what they had to share about God, because it went against the kind of God that they believed. It went against the God that they worshipped. So before they went, God gave them a word. And in the Bible, I don't remember what it was, but she said she read in the verse, I think it was something about islands, those who live in islands call unto the Lord. And so she went to Papua New Guinea with this word, and at night she was praying, and there's been a lot of hostility around the village. And then she heard, she saw in the nighttime, all of her kids are sleeping, and I think she had like a 2-year-old son. She was sleeping, and she saw the villagers coming with torches, right? And they were yelling and screaming in a language that they didn't know yet at the time. And they were really scary, right? And so she went, and she had, her house was barricaded by fences that were made out of haystacks or something like little sticks, you know? And then she was saying, God, I have no protection. I have no one to call on. All I could do is to call on you and stand on your word, because this is the word, this is why I am here, and this is the word I'm going to stand on. So she said she put the Bible on the ground, and she literally stood on the Bible, and she just declared God's faithfulness and God's promise and God's word over their lives. And she said she was there praying, and her and husband were just scared. And this is like, he's like 6'4", and she's like 5'10", 5'11", big, big people. And they're standing on their Bible with their 2-year-old sleeping next to them, and there's his villagers yelling and screaming and taunting and about to set the house on fire. And they're praying and calling on who God is. And they were saying they were calling on the Lord and reminding the Lord who he is in that situation. And about 30 minutes of this, she saw that the people started to back away. Not like, oh, forget it, forget they're no good, they didn't walk away. But they were like backing away like this. And years later, when she became more fluent in the language and befriended these people, one of the villagers who were there that night told her, that night when we were praying for you, we saw this big white guy, right? There were like a bunch of them barricading your house, and we couldn't go any further, right? And I remember that word, not only because it's such a miraculous story that it's hard to believe, but I remember the word because the story told us the visual of standing on God's word and God's faithfulness, right? And the strength that it has, right? That applies to us, and even in despite of our circumstances, has always stuck. The image and the story always stuck with me. I don't know about you, but I've gone through times where I've questioned the goodness of God, right? God, you know, I've been praying. My mom has been sick growing up. My mom was sick for a very long time, and she had a severe case of rheumatoid arthritis, and she couldn't feed herself. She couldn't take care of herself. So we lived in a three-story house, and she always stayed in the the main floor, and she slept on the main floor. We had to feed her. This is from maybe when I was 9 years old, right? We had to feed her. So my sister and I, my brother, we had to do most of the housework at an early age. So we had to cook and clean for her. And it was quite depressing, right? Because of her long-term illness, she was also in major depression. She was taking antidepressants. And then the doctors told her that her limbs had to be cut off at age 50. So my mom came home one day, and the doctors told her how to tell us what's going to happen to her. So she was in a wheelchair and using a cane around the house. And she went and got a little Coca-Cola, like a Coca-Cola can, and she put a little piece of bone in it. And she says, watch what happens to this bone, because that's what's going to happen to my bones, right? And then the bone dissolved, started dissolving. And so that's what's happening to me, and this is why I'm in so much pain. And when you are in high school, right, or, no, you know, when you're in high school, which was a few years from that point, she says, I probably will have to have my legs cut off. And I remember being so angry at God, right? Because I grew up in Sunday school singing the song, God is so good, He's so good to me, right? He's good all the time. And I thought, God, where are you? Where is your goodness here right now? And then from a young age, I prayed for her morning, day, and night, right? I asked the Lord to heal. I earnestly, even at a young age, asked the Lord, God, please heal my mom, please heal my mom. And that was something that I lived and chanted on a daily basis for the 10 years of my life. And she didn't get better. She got sick. And on top of that, when I was in high school, my parents were pastors, and they were pastoring at a church in kind of in a rough area of Toronto, Canada. And on top of that, my mom was attacked by, I guess, a drug addict at church that snuck into church in the afternoon. Everyone's gone home. She was cleaning up, and she snuck into church. And I mean, the drug addict snuck into church and was trying to rape her. So he held her by knife point, and he was trying to pull her into the back room where no one could hear. And my dad was on the fourth floor. So it's an old, you know, brick, like, building. And he was on the fourth floor in his office. And all of a sudden, he remembered that he left his keys in the basement where she was at. And so he went down to the basement, and my mom was, you know, sorry to be graphic, but he had stuffed her mouth. She couldn't yell. But my dad saw, in the corner, was looking for the keys, and he saw the door just closing on its own. So he rushed over, and he held the door open the moment that he was going to close it. And the door had a back room in the back, like behind the stage, and he could take her under the stairs, and no one would have heard her. But the moment that he was about to close the door and lock it, my dad came in, and he bolted. And when he found her, she was all beaten up. And I remember thinking, being so angry when I came home. I was babysitting that day. I came home and I was so angry at God. It's like, God, where is your goodness? Where is your faithfulness? Where you said you are good, and I don't see that in my life, right? And I thought that because my parents served God, because they were so faithful, and they were so humble, and we were part of Salvation Army, and the denomination did a lot of good works in the city, serving the poor. And that's what my parents did. They worked, you know, my dad gave up a lucrative business to work with the poor, and God, this is what we get. And I lived with that anger for a long, long time. I don't know, have you guys ever experienced that? Asking and wondering where God is, right? And then I was angry, and then I was afraid, because I thought if I was angry, he'll be angry at him, he'll be angry back at me, right? How dare I, you know, because be defiant towards God, because, you know, in the Asian culture, defiance towards adult is a sign of disrespect and dishonor, and it was very frowned upon, right? So I was like, I had this, like, I'm angry at you, but I'm scared at you, and I feel guilty, and it was just like complicated process for a long time. But God has been so faithful. Never once did he raise his arm, right, in trying to correct me or to teach me. But over and over again, he demonstrated his faithfulness to me. Long story short, my mom was, by then, you know, I was in college. It's been this long process of recovery, and she was still not getting better. She was getting worse, and thankfully, she didn't have to get her legs amputated. But she was like, they were just at the, my parents were at the holding on to the last rope, right? They were being held together, their marriage, their ministry, their health, our family. We were just being held by the thread. And out of desperation, they went to this church that John Wimber, Pastor Tam talks about him a lot. And they flew down to Anaheim. They said, well, we heard this guy moves in healing, and we're just going to just go and see what happens. So during worship, my mom stood up to worship, even though she was in a lot of pain. And her knee started jerking, which she couldn't even walk during the time. Right? Her knee started jerking. And she put her hand up, and she felt this hot thing, hotness come over all over her body, right? And that instant, she was healed, right? So now she's in her 60s, right? And she's never really been able to cook, look after us, or clean the house. Now she has more energy than I do. And the autoimmune disease that was eating her up, there's no cure for autoimmune disease. But we serve a God, right, who has cure for all things, doesn't he? Right? I don't know why he took so long to heal her. But I don't regret the process that God had put me through, because through that process he has demonstrated his faithfulness. Right? God's faithfulness is not determined by our circumstances. We cannot look at God through the lens of our current circumstances. God's goodness is not defined by what we experience in life. The Bible says that God is, the Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And yes, there are times when we look at God with disbelief and hard for us to believe in his goodness and his faithfulness. But the good thing of that is, even though when we question his goodness and faithfulness, that doesn't change God or his attitude or his action, his affection towards you. Goodness and faithfulness of God, it's something that is not changed by how we feel towards him. It's who he is. And because of who he is, we can stand firm despite of the storms that may surround you. Despite of your hopeless situation, you could stand on the word of God because he is good and because he is faithful no matter what. I'm going to read Lamentations 3. And this morning I was reading Lamentations, and it's actually a pretty depressing Lamentation. Horrific things were happening in Israel. And most scholars believe it was Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, who wrote this. And he was describing all these things. And then I'm going to read from you, for you, chapter 3, verse 19. Lamentations is before Ezekiel. It says this: remember my afflictions and my wandering, my wormwood and my bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I call to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassion never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I'm going to read that one more time. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassion never fail. There are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I don't know what circumstances have brought you here this morning. I don't know what situation you may be in. But the Lord wants to remind you of who he is. He is loving kindness. He is faithful and he is good. And on that, you could bank on that. You could take who he is, who he says he is, and you could deposit it. You could bank on that. It's something you could draw from, you could bank on, right? It's something that is surely would never change. So let's pray this morning. Maybe some of you guys need to stand on God's word today. And if that's you today, if there are circumstances in your life that you don't understand, but you know that you need to stand on who He is. Maybe some of you guys even need to stand right now where you are at. Say, God, this is a situation I'm in, and this is how complicated my life is right now, or at least my life is in my head. And this is my situation that looks hopeless. But God, I stand on your word today. I bank on who you are, and I declare that you are good and you're faithful. So if this morning, if that is something that resounds with you in your heart, I'll encourage you to stand today. Stand on who God said He is and who has demonstrated to be generations and who will demonstrate His goodness and faithfulness to you in the days to come. And let's pray and go to God with whatever circumstances you have and declare His faithfulness and goodness over your life and over your situation right now.
me whole. I love, I love your presence. I love, I love, I love your presence. I love, I love, I love you, Jesus.
Before we go into our personal time of prayer, let's pray for those in our congregation today. Let's pray for those in the community whose friends and family are suffering with cancer, battling cancer. Let's pray for Mary Rester's father, Pastor Keith, Eugene Yoon's mom, Pastor Sam's aunt, Jennifer Kong in Singapore, Christina's friend Min's dad, and Yvain's aunt, Cynthia. Let's pray for those. And let's also pray for those who are going through chemo right now. Let's pray and declare victory over cancer and all these people. And let's also pray for Chung's brother-in-law, Vince, who's waiting for a bone marrow transplant. Let's pray. Father, Jesus. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, let's pray for those in the community whose friends and family are suffering with illness and also in need of salvation. Krista Chi's aunt, Nature Nan's uncle, Yvain's grandmother, Tim Ting's mom and sister, Angie's father, Ken's cousin, Pastor Sophia's parents, and Caden's and Rainey's dad, and Jin's mom and aunt. Next slide, please. Okay, and let's pray for all those in the community who are also dealing with physical ailments. Let's read their name one by one together. in your heart and just cover them in prayer. Next slide, please. Okay, let's pray for those in our community who are in need of a job. Hi, Katharina, Mark and Pamela Starnes, Tracy, James, Chia, John Chang, Samuel Buchanan, Karen Lau, Mark Malty, Emily, Rebecca Rose, and Jack Chan. Let's also pray for Mark as he's getting married this weekend. Next slide, please. And our mission focus today is North Korea. Let's pray for Chris Kim and his community. South Korea and a possible future church plant to Japan. Let's pray for our ministries at church, the IP, the Well, and the Cascades, and hospitality ministry, welcoming barista. And also pray for Hong Kong Korean Church, Pastor Choi, the senior pastor. And our house church today, their meeting is Elements and Conduits. Let's pray for them. Next slide, please. Oh, is that it? Okay. So let's spend our time today, the rest of our time, coming before the Lord with whatever that may be in your heart.